Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfagal of Olami 613 with a special 8th day of Hanukkah edition of Monday Motivation with a live studio audience. Yes, an exciting 8th day of Hanukkah. Yes, by the time you listen to this, you will have already lit your 8th candle. And today is a very special day. The 8th day of Hanukkah. So here's the game plan. We are going to talk about the 8th day of Hanukkah, its spiritual significance. And then from there, we're going to talk about Maccabees throughout the ages. I have two stories in particular I'd like to share. So it's going to be story time. So, cuddle up. Get your blankie, maybe some hot chocolate, popcorn. It's going to be story time about Maccabees through the ages. That it wasn't only the original Maccabees who fought for their Jewish identity and to light the Hanukkah menorah, which is the ultimate symbol of Jewish pride and Jewish resilience over all of those who would like to take our connection with Hashem and our Judaism away from us. So not only then, but yes, throughout the ages. So here we go. The significance of the 8th day of Hanukkah. So mystically, there's a lot going on here. The Hasidic masters say that the final sealing of the judgment from Yom Kippur, okay? So let's just do a little review. We have Rosh Hashanah, where we're penciled in our judgment for the year. Then we have Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Yom HaKippurim. Okay, for the Israelis who are listening to us, good, we like them, we like you. So Yom Kippur, it is sealed. So I would say like it's written in pen. And then on Hoshana Rabbah, which is the 7th day of Sukkot, it says that that note is sent with the ostensible message that still somehow it could be changed. And at that point, we think it's over. But the great Hasidic masters, through their Kabbalistic spiritual learning, have really brought to light that Bezos Yechupar Avon Yaakov, which is a verse in the Navi and the Prophet, says Bezos Yechupar Avon Yaakov, in this Zos, Zion Aleph Saf in Hebrew, in this or on this day, Yechupar Avon Yaakov, the sin of Jacob will really truly be atoned for. And the day, the 8th day of Hanukkah is called Zos Hanukkah. This is the day of Hanukkah. So the connection between those two words, the same word, Zos Hanukkah, and in the words of the prophets, Zos, lead to a connection that literally this 8th day is the final opportunity to achieve a full atonement from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur season, which is mind-blowing, which means that this day is supercharged with all sorts of spiritual energy. If there are things that we would like to work on, if there are things that we would like to implement, this is the day. So I hope everyone's listening to Monday Motivation on Monday, because this is the day to do it. All right, and so it's a very Jewish idea. Because we're never down, we're never out, as we said last week, and there's always an opportunity to come close to Hashem. Sometimes we have more assistance. The wheels are greased. Well, we'll see. That's a harbinger of future story we're gonna say tonight. Okay, and so there's always a very hopeful message in Torah and in Judaism and in our observance, that it's never too late, that we really can, even way beyond we think the deadline is. You know, Hashem is the most compassionate teacher and allows us to do a retake and another retake. And so let's use this day, God willing, to at maybe even remember what it was that we said we were going to work on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and do our best to implement at least one thing. All right. And so now I'd like to share with you two absolutely unbelievable stories about Hanukkah. And they both come from the times of the Holocaust, about Jews who were just not going to have this whole Nazi thing of preventing them from lighting the Hanukkah candles. You know, the Rambam, Maimonides, says something very little bit, not off color, but out of the ordinary when he talks about Hilchos Hanukkah, the laws of Hanukkah. He says the mitzvah Hanukkah, chaviv, it's beloved, ad me'od. The lights are just beloved, ad me'od, very much. And there are a lot of reasons for that. I think we can look back and see that the Hanukkah lights represent the essence of what it means to be Jewish. That we know who we are. We have a confidence in who we are. That we are Hashem's chosen people. And there are many people, sometimes within our own ranks, who try to convince us that we are just like everyone else. That there's nothing truly special about being Jewish. And that our relationship with Hashem should be something maybe for the history books and not for the textbooks of today. But that really is what Hanukkah is all about, is that we are plugging into the fact that we know who we are, we're on mission, we're the moral beacons for the world. No one else is doing it, no one. We are the ones who have to stand up and say what is right and what is not. And along with that comes a lot of unpopularity. We are not popular because we stand up for values that the world does not want to have to live up to. And so therefore, really Hanukkah is that holiday that we lean into our Jewish pride. We lean in to loving being Jewish. All right, so here we go. We're going to start with the story of Rabbi Chaim Stein. Now, Rabbi Chaim Stein was the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz Yeshiva, and Telz was in Lithuania. The entire yeshiva was wiped out by Einsatzgruppen, except for Rabbi Chaim Stein and a few of the yeshiva bachrim who were able to escape. And they made their way onto the Trans-Siberian Railroad. And you can imagine in the winter of 1940 how cold the Trans-Siberian Railway was. And they somehow, you know, realized that Hanukkah was approaching and they wanted to light. Now, this is not Amtrak over here. It's not like you can't just order, I'd like some oil and some wicks and you know, let's figure this out. So they got creative and they, you know, the wicks are usually the easiest. They were able to get from clothing, you know, rip off a little bit of the clothing and have wicks. They found like a little metal can of some kind that was like, you know, I don't know, soda pop, whatever it was at that time, not sure, but some sort of metal can that was cut. And so they had something to hold the oil and the wick and, you know, matches. Okay, so matches they had. So now the only issue was the oil. The only issue was the oil. So they got creative and there was nothing in the car itself. And they, at each stop, would go out. Rabbi Stein and his students would go out and check to maybe, you know, the train runs on oil. And they found one exhaust pipe that was giving off oil. And they were able to collect enough drops of this oil in order for them to light the Hanukkah candles. Now, it's not like, you know, they wouldn't add another one each night like we do. They had enough to light one candle each night, which is the basic minimum to fulfill the mitzvah. And so they did day one, day two, day three, day four, until day five, when things got so cold that even the oil started freezing on the train. And when they went out to look for the oil, it was frozen. And they couldn't even scrape off a drop or two to be able to light the Hanukkah candle. So dejected, they come back into the car. And Reb Chaim Stein and, you know, one of his students, he says, if we cannot fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the Hanukkah candles, you know what we're going to do? We're going to learn about it. And as everyone else fell asleep, Reb Chaim Stein and this chavrusa, one of the students, study partners, were studying about the laws of Hanukkah deep into the night. Deep into the night. Until his chavrusa fell asleep. And then it was just Rabbi Stein who was there with his desire, with his passion to light the Hanukkah menorah, but he was unable to. But he had a fiery will to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. And there's a beautiful Torah expression, Ein Devar Omed Bifnei HaRatzon. Nothing stands up against the human will. The human will is the strongest force of the universe. Well, obviously, aside from Hashem. But really, what a person yearns for and wants to do has a huge impact on the world. And that's what Rav Chaim Stein wanted to do. And the story goes, and he wrote this story down. This is not a fairy tale. He wrote the story down, and the people that I know who are in Tel's Yeshiva in Chicago said that Rav Chaim Stein would tell this story over, and in Cleveland, he was in Cleveland, but the people who studied there, there's a Tel's Yeshiva in Chicago, that they would hear the story year after year. And Rav Stein said that around 4 a.m, they heard a knock. They heard a knock. There was a knock on the door at 4 a.m. in the middle of nowhere, Siberia. And there was a Russian man selling candles. Now, can you imagine this? Literally in the middle of Siberia, this Russian man is selling candles, and they literally cannot believe this. He paid the money, and just within enough time, he lit a Hanukkah candle. He lit the light before the rays of dawn come, because when it's dawn the next morning, one has missed the night. So it is absolutely an unbelievable story. You know, I don't know what you would be doing on a Trans-Siberian railway car, but I think I'd be sleeping. I'm not sure I would be up learning all night. I'd love to be able to say that I would want to do that, but it's really a testament. And therefore, you see that in the darkest moments, that's where the Almighty is with us, with the what's called Mesiras Nefesh. When we go all in and self-sacrifice for the Almighty, He goes all in for us. And that was the first story, the beautiful, the Maccabees throughout the ages. That is one in the Trans-Siberian Railway. I'd like to share another amazing story with you. Now, this story also happens in the Holocaust. And the protagonist is an amazing Jew named Rabbi Shraga Shmuel Schnitzler. Okay? He went after the war by the more familiar name as Rev Shmelki. Okay? And he, when he eventually survived and came to America, he was known as the Tachaber Rav. I am totally butchering that. Tachaber Rav. Tachaber? Okay. My listeners who have Hasidic roots will let me know what the right pronunciation is. Okay, so he was Mr. Positive in the middle of Bergen-Belsen, which is obviously a very difficult place to be positive. But it was in Kislev, the month in which Hanukkah comes, in 1944. The Jews were down and out. They were very depressed, and Hanukkah was just a few days away, and he was determined that he was going to find a way to light the Hanukkah candles. Now, he would ask people who worked in the kitchen, can you get me any oil? Can you get me any anything? And everyone, at that time refused. They were just, comatose. They didn't want to take the chance. They'd be, found out. And he said, okay, he asked to do something. So one of his jobs, sadly, was to take care of the dead bodies, sadly. And he was commanded to go to different barracks and remove the bodies. When he was walking across the field, his foot got caught in a small hole in the frozen earth, and he almost fell, which is, okay, unique. But when he removed his foot from the hole, he noticed that something was buried inside. And after making sure that no guards were watching him, he knelt down to see what it was. He pulled out something. He could not believe it. It was a small jar from the ground, and inside was some congealed liquid. Oil, he whispered. Oil for Hanukkah. So he reached his hand inside the hole a second time, and guess what? He discovered more supplies. It was like he went to the Judaica store right there in Bergen-Belsen. It was a carefully wrapped package, and he saw 8 little cups and 8 thin strands of cotton. He literally hit the jackpot. Now, here's where the dilemma comes in. Obviously, a Jew hid them there, but was this a Jew who was, God forbid, killed already or released? Is this someone who was just hiding it there and then he will come back? And if Reb Shmelka would have taken it, then he would have taken the mitzvah away from someone who clearly had to bribe someone with, to be able to get this so nicely. Okay, so he came back. He was eyeing it day after day. And as it came to right before the night of Hanukkah, he went back. He saw that it was there. He took it and he lit the Hanukkah candle in the barracks. And that lighting, says Reb Shmelka, lifted the spirits of the Jews. And literally, he said, saved many Jews' lives who thought that it was all over and there was no hope. But the Hanukkah candles were the ones that kept them going. And so that was a story which he thought was the end. So what happened? So Shmelka survived. And after Bergen-Belsen, he was liberated. He returned to Hungary. He was a spiritual leader for other survivors. And several years later, he made a trip to the United States. And when he was there, he paid a visit to an acquaintance from, quote-unquote, the old country, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, the famous, the Satmar Rebbe. And when they reminisced, the Satmar Rebbe mentioned that he had also been a prisoner in Bergen-Belsen. The Satmar Rebbe explained, I was rescued on the 21st of Kislev, 4 days before Hanukkah. Before I found out about the rescue plan, I made provisions for the holiday. I bribed several camp officials and put together a package of oil, cups, and wicks, which I then buried in a field. I always felt badly that my little menorah was never put to use. Reb Shmelka smiled and he told the Satmar Rav, your menorah was used. It dispelled the darkness for hundreds of Jews and helped several of them survive the war. Imagine this, that as again, in the darkest places, in the darkest times, the Almighty is smiling at us. He's watching over us. He is taking care of us. This is what Hanukkah is all about. The darkness that may seem to be brewing in our time is nothing compared to what we as the Jewish people have gone through. We've got this, people. Hanukkah could not have come at a better time this year to give us that hope that not only will we survive throughout history, we will thrive throughout history, but it all depends on us, on how much we want to plug in, on how much we want to continue to be the Maccabees throughout the ages. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you again right here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.